tonight will be our last class, Al Derech HaPshat, the simple understanding of the Book of Yonah. And next week, I'll share with you a Kabbalistic approach to the Book of Yonah, which is, it's sort of well known, I think, in the circles of people that know about the different ways of understanding the Navi. So the Zohar, actually, believe it or not, and I shared this with Dr. Hartman, just 2 weeks ago, happens to be that the Zohar was flooded with the story of Yonah and the Kabbalistic approach in Parsha Vayakhel, not too long ago. And I was really caught by surprise when I was reading some of the Medrash in the Zohar, and they came across an amazing thing. The whole exposition on Yonah is right there in Parshas Vayakhel. So I was really fortunate to see that, and I'll tell you even something greater in a moment about what I saw in the Zohar, which made my hair stand on end. Really, really did. It was quite amazing. And I don't have that much hair, so that's even more. But I want to share basically the Zohar's approach and the Vilna Gaon, the Gra Mivilna, Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer of Vilna. He basically took that approach and developed it. So I hope to go into that a little bit of understanding the relationship between the soul in this world and the world to come, and the struggle a person has in this world, etc. We'll get back to that Zohar piece that I promised to tell you about right now. So it's also a good time for me to thank everybody for making an effort. Firstly, for Rachel and Donnie, and also to thank every person for coming to the class. I did something I never do, I never usually do, and I listened to my class from the last 2 times ago online tonight. Thanks to Jacob, I was able to do that. So I listened to the class and I took notes again. And what I want to do is, I think I left a few cliffhangers in the last class 2 weeks ago. So what I would like to do is revisit just a few of those points and highlight important lessons that literally what we can do. I named the class Escape to Nowhere, and before I dove into the Book of Yonah, I already was thinking about what Yonah really is about, and I see that the Book of Yonah really is a study about each one of us also. So I want to highlight those lessons that we can take from the story. So briefly, please pardon me if you feel this is a repetition, but I do want to highlight some of the points that we said, which I want us to put in our pocket and take away with us tonight. Inevitably there'll be something new. So last time we spoke about that Yonah was a student of Eliyahu HaNavi. If you remember that, we spoke about Yonah being a student of Eliyahu HaNavi, while Eliyahu sort of took a personal crusade not to pray for the Jewish people during the time of famine so that they do teshuvah. He stood up in the defense of Hashem. And there was this small episode in the story of the Navi that we went through where Eliyahu brought Yonah HaNavi back to life as a child. And then Eliyahu essentially is the mentor of Yonah. And there are parallels between Noach and Eliyahu and Yonah and the fish. Basically, the fish as well is this like martyr fish that swallows Yonah. There's a certain path over here that we want to expose. Specifically, Yonah and Eliyahu are not chastised by Hashem for... They're not rebuked by Hashem for adapting a truism. They were both very passionate about their path. And Eliyahu did the right thing by not davening for the Jewish people. Because that was really the right thing, and it really did bring about a course of action where people did eventually do teshuvah during the first bias, and there was a face-off with the idolaters of Baal. And I mean, there was a wave that Eliyahu created. Yonah, on the other hand, had a much more difficult task, like we said, because he was boarding the ship where he had to prove the truism of Hashem, that Hashem is a true God, and at the same time explain that he's actually running away from Hashem. So he had that enormous conflict of showing, telling people it is indeed true. There's one and only God, but I'm running away from him. And then they couldn't buy that, basically. They couldn't buy the story that Yonah was telling them. Until at the very end, according to the Medrash, it says that it's after Yonah was spit out by the fish onto dry land, somehow the sailors saw that. Maybe they were able to see, like, that enormous event, and that turned them to the Teshuvah. But essentially, Yonah faces a different conflict than Elio. Okay, so that's what we started speaking about. Now, what I said in class, and I said it a little bit in jest, is that when Elio revived Yonah, he breathed into him, and like the spirit, and I said like the spirit of, you know, maybe homeretically, the spirit of Eliyahu went into Yonah. The spirit of standing up for the truth no matter what, even if it's in defense of the Jewish people, in defense of Hashem against the Jewish people, just sticking to that commitment to truth. And that's what I found in the Zohar. I really could not believe it. It's exactly what it says in the Zohar. Remember, I did a little bit of a play on words. Yonah ben Amittai. Yonah is called Yonah, the son of Amittai. And Amittai, spelt in Hebrew, Aleph Mem Tav Yud, means basically truth. Emet. Truth. So Yonah comes from truth. And I was startled when I saw that in the Midrash of the Zohar says that Yonah has the spirit of Eliyahu. Because Eliyahu, the woman told him when he blew the breath of air into Yonah and he revived Yonah, it says, she says, now I know that Dvar Elokim Beficha Be'emes. Now I know that God's word is in your mouth in truth. Meaning, I see it taking grasp in this world. That your world's philosophy isn't just something that's, you know, you talk about, but it's the truth, the passion that you have takes grasp in this world. Right? And the Zohar says that's why he's called Yonah ben Amittai. Meaning the emes, the emes that he was inspired from Yonah, from Eliyahu, Yonah is now ben Amittai. He's like the son of that truth. Meaning Yonah's born, he's reborn, if you will. He's reinvigorated from the passion for truth of Eliyahu, and that's who Yonah is. Right? So I was really quite amazed that it says that in the Zohar, that explains where Yonah's coming from. It's really, truly amazing that you see that connection in the verse by Eliyahu where it talks about his truism, and you see that in Yonah as well. So there's a strong connection, it's a founded connection, that Yonah is the Talmud of Eliyahu Hanavi. So that's one portal that we took. I wanted to bring that out. Why is that important? Because, let's bring that down to a lesson level. In a sense, Yonah is not a successful student of Eliyahu HaNavi. Yonah learns from Eliyahu HaNavi. He learns about being passionate and sticking to the truth. But somehow Eliyahu is very successful in doing that. And the student, his Talmud, is not as successful in doing that. His Talmud confronts challenges. His Talmud confronts challenges that really the Rebbe never thought he would have. The difference between Eliyahu and Yonah is that Eliyahu Hanavi had the emunah in Hashem that when he stood up for the truth, he stood up for the truth of Hashem. He sided with Hashem versus the Jewish people. Yonah made a mistake. Yonah really chose the wrong side of the battle. He really chose the Jewish people over Hashem. And that's a mistake. There's truth to that. We understand where that's coming from, where he wants to defend the Jewish people. But he's standing up for he's not siding with Hashem in this mission. It's, you know, let's leave the story of Yonah for a moment. And just, you know, in leadership, you know, we often need to make the choices between different facets. And we want to stand up for a communal cause or we want to stand up for something that's really true and good, but somehow it's not consistent with what Hashem, the Torah, wants us to do. But it seems like a very true cause. So we're choosing the good of the community over the good of, if you will, from Hashem. And that is like the nerves, the nervous system of what is going on with Yonah. Yonah thinks that, like we said last class, Yonah thinks that the world may fall apart if he sides with Hashem's view. You see, Yonah thinks that if he follows, he feels alone. Hashem, why are you doing this to me? You want me to go to Nineveh? The Jewish people, they're not going to do teshuva. It's going to reflect so badly upon them. Why are you doing this to me? I can't side with you, Hashem. Yonah sees an opposition between him and Hashem. And he can't side with Hashem. Hashem's not on his team. He feels alone. So he decides to side with the human cause, right? The community. Sorry?
How can he go against God? You just think God's wrong?
Well,
you know what I mean?
he thinks.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, he thinks that Hashem wants him to. He thinks that it's a test. Hashem wants him to show his leadership for the Jewish people. Possibly.
Oh, so he thinks that maybe God wants him to do this. Thinks he is listening to God.
Well, there's levels of emunah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's what we can call the simple faith and the simple truth. Which is, I don't know, everything is up to Hashem. I'll just do what Hashem wants me to do. I'll take the simple message. Hashem wants me to live this life. I'll just do this, and so on. And then there's living a more complex, sophisticated, if you will, life of emunah. The first level, by the way, is the ultimate truth.
Right.
But then there's we develop a lifestyle. We develop images or sort of like we build buildings and we develop a whole infrastructure of how we perceive our life to be, and we understand Hashem's message differently in that new context than really was intended. Yonah has built for himself in his mind a certain perspective on the world, where Hashem's message doesn't get in so clearly, and I'm sorry if I'm saying apikorsus over here, maybe it's just my, you know, the way I understand. Hashem's message, he understands what Hashem is saying, but maybe Hashem is testing him to see how much he'll stand up for the Jewish people. Meaning, the simple truth doesn't get through. The simple emunah doesn't get through anymore to Yonah. Yonah's experiencing, he's distanced from Hashem. Now, let's put this in context. The Jewish people during the first temple, they're actually severed their relationship with Hashem through their sins. It could be the level of the Navi is according to the level of the people, and he's not deserving of fully of getting into there. Maybe it's the zechus of the Jewish people that he doesn't get to tap in to not having a Navi. A Navi has these infrastructures and can't hear the word of Hashem so clearly. How could that be? Maybe it's according to the level of the people. Maybe it's the person, Yonah. But what is happening over here? What is happening over here is that Yonah has a perception of the world. And in this perception of the world, he is a caretaker of the world. And Hashem is there, and Hashem's testing Yonah. Hashem's not next to Yonah, holding Yonah, caressing Yonah, telling Yonah, I'm on your team, I'm with you, we're doing this together. Yonah is defending the world against Hashem's command. And Hashem maybe is testing Yonah to see how he'll react, like Hashem's the tester. Hashem's the challenger. Hashem's not the loving, caring parent that guides. Hashem is, I mean, he is in a challenging sort of sense.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like by Avram Avinu.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. I'm saying, Avram, you know, God tells him to sacrifice his son Isaac. I mean, he could have come back with, I mean, that makes no sense. He told me he's going to leave the the father of the Jewish people, and now you tell me to kill him. It makes no sense. He didn't do any of that.
Exactly. Exactly. Perhaps the greatness of Avraham is that he had this simple emunah. He had this simple truth. He didn't have, Avraham Avinu didn't have structures, even though Hashem built up those structures for Avraham. Don't do human sacrifice, idolatry, etc., etc., etc. You know, loving kindness. And yet when Hashem tells him something that's opposite, there's nothing that stands in the way. Avraham can hear the simple truth. The simple emunah comes through. Yonah's obstructed for some reason. I don't know again why. Maybe he's inspired by Eliyahu Anavi to stand up passionately for the truth, but he's somehow, for some reason, I don't fully know why, somehow misguided in terms of what he's standing up for, and he cannot hear the simple emunah and the simple truth. We experience this all the time. Right? We experience this all the time. I mean, our lives, the way we have built up our lives, it's just a commentary on, you know, the way we live our lives, is that we all live our lives in a way that we have set up for ourselves lifestyles where the message of Torah and mitzvos, or the message of what Hashem wants us to do, it can't get through in its simple form. We need to, don't take that literally. You know, that needs a little bit of interpretation. I'm not really sure what that means. You know, it may not relate to us, and so on. Like, we're not comfortable with having the voice of Hashem speak to us directly. Okay? We're away from that's just the simple message. Maybe we think we're much more sophisticated people. We need a very, you know, we're one of the biblical figures, and we need, like, you know, a very majestic way that Hashem speaks to us. Maybe it's through gaiva. Maybe it's through our own desires that we don't want to allow Hashem. And whatever the infrastructure is, it prevents the simple truth to come in. So. And then I want to hear what you have to say. But the one basic lesson is, we have to remember, one lesson from the book of Yonah is that Hashem speaks to us in simple terms. Hashem is not on the offensive. Hashem is not there to give us messages which we need to interpret for ourselves in our situations, etc. There is a voice, Hashem speaking to us in our own lives in simple terms. And we need not, you know, learn it up and have it go into different portals and understand how it applies and if it applies and when it applies. There's a simple truth. And I mean, I don't know exactly how to apply that everywhere, but we are all in touch sometimes with simplicity. And the simplicity is just the basic foundation of trust in Hashem, listening to what Hashem says, understanding that it applies to all people at all times and all situations, and you know, obviously not being an absolutist, understanding how it should apply. It doesn't mean we shouldn't look at something and understand how it applies. You know, obviously not everything applies to everyone at all times in the sense that, you know, don't steal. Does that mean you never steal? Well, Rachel stole the idols of Lavan, and we know that the Jewish people tricked the Egyptians into giving them their, whatever the, you know, I mean, we're not absolutists, but the foundations are absolute. The applications, they're not absolute applications. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be deluding ourselves to think that the simple faith doesn't apply to me anymore. I'm so far from the simple faith or the simple truth. It's like it never applies. There's never room for the simple truth because there's always a different answer and there's always a different way to look at things. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And you don't have to be sorry.
Yes. No, I'm waiting to wait the whole time.
It's okay.
Okay.
I have some kind of maybe contradicted you in a way. Let's start with Jacob. not you. Jacob, his other name was Israel, that means they're men that fight with God. That means, though he was trying to protect himself for the Jewish nation when he crossed the river, he still had to fight with God. Number one. Number two, Moshe. After the Jewish people done big sin, Hashem told him, let me destroy the whole people, and you will be, and start all over with you. Mm-hmm. You also don't listen to Hashem, and protect his people against the will of Hashem in a way. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of second. Not today, we have Pikuach Nefesh Doche Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Not to protect the people, mm-hmm. we break the mitzvot Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Now we have three issues, several, maybe more, maybe less, mm-hmm. that say that sometimes taking care mm-hmm. of your people mm-hmm. is important. You can argue with Hashem. Mm-hmm. So that may justify Yonah in his approach.
I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about that. Just I can take the last two examples. I'm not sure about how I can deal with the first one, but just the last two. When Moshe wants to protect the Jewish people, his line of reasoning is there will be a Chilul Hashem. You know, that the people, the nations of the world, will, when they hear this, they'll say, look, God couldn't save the Jewish people against the 31 kings in Canaan, and he doesn't, you know, and he needs to wipe them out in the desert. Or the third example you gave of saving someone on Shabbat, the Gemara says, better it should be that one Shabbos be broken and many Shabboses be observed.
The issue is now talking about quantity. The first answer for you was Shammai, maybe. We don't have the going have to say it. Mm-hmm. So they may say it.
Right.
So again, maybe is the Shammai approach, which understand the Talmud, except one case, don't accept it.
Okay.
And about the Pikuach Nefesh, there's nothing in the Torah that say that Pikuach Nefesh of a Shabbat.
What do you mean?
I mean, when I try to sing Shabbat, say Shabbat tomorrow, mm-hmm. there's no any exception. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We add later exception to keep our life or other mm-hmm. people's life.
So we would need to study that to see exactly what the sources are.
It is kind of a conflict, and my view is, if you say that we nation of Hashem, now we can take out the conflict. Mm-hmm.
But you say we're the nation of Hashem, and therefore we're nation, right? Hashem and the nation, they're one and the same.
They're the same. Now we have no
protecting the people is protecting Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this, now we take a little bit of the punishment you give to Jonah
away. Yeah. I understand.
This is my
point. I understand.
Simple opinion.
There doesn't seem to be any dialogue though, between Jonah and God. Moshe complains. Avram complains, you know, why are you killing these people with stone? Moshe complains, why are you going to do this? And so, Jonah doesn't say anything. He just runs off. That seems really
the way he can. I mean, Moshe was able to talk
to God. He's not a communicator.
Was he at a different period where he's not able to communicate with God or something? We don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think that the Navi's able to communicate with Hashem. I mean, you know, Elio communicated with Hashem. Whether Yonah can communicate with Hashem or not, I don't know. Yechezkel communicated with Hashem. I mean, you know, they're in the same time period. So Yirmiyahu communicated with Hashem, etc. Whether Yonah could or could not, I don't know. Maybe Yonah's a more minor prophet who cannot communicate with Hashem. I don't know. I don't know what sort of Navi can or can't. I'm not sure.
It just seems like an odd way to express your point. I mean, mm-hmm. his point was, you're telling me to do one thing and it doesn't seem right to me. So I'm going to express that by running off to Tarshish. It seems a little strange. Mm-hmm. But what is he doing exactly? I think the way we explained it is he was trying to get away from the Nevuah.
Right, he didn't want to get Nevuah. But still, that still begs the question, why is he running away?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think the question is larger than the answer. The answer doesn't plug up all the holes in the question. Yeah. But nevertheless, there's a certain, I'm suggesting, the training that Yonah has from Eliyahu, and I'm building on this relation between Eliyahu and Yonah, which I think is important to give a context. I think that that is you act with your passion, and that's what a leader does. A leader, when he's passionate, it's not the time to cool off and to sort of have a dialogue, if you will, with Hashem and say, well, you got a good point, but what if I stay? I mean, what if I don't go to Tarshish? What will be then? Can I stay? I don't want to go, and so on. Maybe the training that Yonah gets from Eliyahu is to be passionate and true, and, you know, perhaps it's a different training. I don't know these answers. I'm just, I'm not sure.
Maybe his actions spoke for themselves.
Yes, the actions are important, like what Eliyahu did. You know, Eliyahu didn't daven. Eliyahu, you know, was an individual, independent thinker about how to go about, and, you know, and that Yonah perhaps is inspired by that. You know, and that's coming from sticking to Hashem, who's a El Emes. You know, Hashem is true, and this is what Hashem wants, and we have to look for the truth. You know, but Yonah's got that complexity going because he's not siding with Hashem on this. He's siding with the Jewish people, not with Hashem. Okay, so one lesson is that there's a simple truth that can come to us. I want to skip and connect another very important message to that. Yes, I'm sorry.
There's a word that you used earlier, I don't know if it's English or Hebrew, gaiva.
Yes.
Understanding that
haughtiness.
That's Hebrew.
Gaava.
Gaava, so it's haughtiness. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, okay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
It's my yeshivish expressions. There's really another point here, which is really, I sort of touched on it. So one point is, the simple truth needs to be able to come through. That's a very important lesson for us. That in our life, there's room for simplicity. Okay, that's one really important lesson. There's a second important lesson here. Hashem is on our team. And this is such an important lesson. You know, when we think about how we look at life, how we human beings look at our life situation, how do we really think about Hashem? Okay? How do we really think about Hashem? Do we think about Hashem? I mean, there's multiple ways, I'm just going to present a few. But do we think about Hashem as, you know, there's me, and I'm performing in front of Hashem. Hashem is this, you know, magnificent, glorious, and we can't even begin to spell out Hashem's glory, you know, overwhelming reality in the world. Hashem is the creator. And I'm performing in front of Hashem. Now, sometimes I do a good job, you know, sometimes I barely do it, sometimes I don't do what Hashem wants me to do. And I'm, you know, and I'm, there's just this, you know, it's like the disapproving parent, you know, Hashem is just working and, you know, waiting for us to just, well, you know, you failed again, you know, or okay, fine, you did a good job, and, you know, or congratulations, very good, pat on the back, let's move on to the next activity. Disappointing. You know, where is Hashem? Is Hashem sort of the reviewer, the challenger of our actions? And I think perhaps that is, I'm suggesting here, and I'm just, you know, we're talking about Nevi'im, you know, and Nevi'im are giants, you know, but nevertheless, we can try to draw some lessons from the Nevi'im. I think that's perhaps how Yonah's looking at it. Yonah's point of view is, you need to, you know, you're in the world, you're being challenged by Hashem, like the Mesil Sesharim says, and so on, and like we know from the Torah, from several places, we're being challenged, and Hashem is reviewing our actions, and responding, and so on and so forth. Hashem's the orchestrator. And we're in this world, and we need to show Hashem how we're acting. I mean, you know, we need to perform for God. Right? I think that's perhaps how Yonah's looking at it. In that situation, a person can reach a very deep loneliness. A very, very deep loneliness. Because we're not going to always be successful. And therefore, we prescribe for our own actions a score. We say, well, I did well in that, but I'm really failing in this area. You know, Hashem is very disapproving of me in this area, or I'm excelling here, I'm really failing here. And we are I'm not saying it's not true in that way. I'm not saying that that's not a true way of looking at it, but if that's the only perspective we have, that's a dangerous perspective and could really bring us down. What Hashem wants to teach Yonah, and the way, sort of, the direction I chose to take in the last class and I want to continue now, is that what Hashem was teaching Yonah is that don't think that if you go to Nineveh, the world will fall apart. Do you think, Hashem is saying to Yonah, sort of, do you think that if you go to Nineveh, I want to bring down your downfall? And I'm challenging you, the simple truth, the simple message, if you follow my simple message, you think you're going to bring down the world with your actions? You know, you need to contest the simple message of what I'm telling you? Again, you know, that raises the question of Moshe, how Moshe reacted to that. But perhaps, like you're pointing out, over there Moshe at least is engaging in conversation with Hashem about it. Yonah's acting on it. Yonah's taking a position. It's different than Moshe. Moshe's struggling with the problem. Moshe's saying, how is it that Hashem is telling me to do this? I mean, if I go back to the Jewish people, they're not going to believe me. And it's not going to work. Hashem says, don't worry, they'll believe you, I'll give you a sign. But Hashem, I can't speak well, etc., etc. You know, so Moshe's struggling through it and he's dealing with it, you know. Or others just go along, like Avraham Avinu, the simple truth, follow what Hashem says, I don't care that it's slaughtering Isaac and, you know, etc., I'm going along with it. But Yonah is acting against what Hashem says. And that is where his philosophy, if you will, is his way of looking at life is flawed. Yonah's perception is flawed. Because Yonah, Hashem wants Yonah to know that Yonah, even if you go to Nineveh, don't worry, this is a safe place for you to live and to follow instructions. There's no, you know, eject or self-destruct button in this world. You know, you're going to go through life, I'm going to give you instructions, and if you deal with them, you engage in them, you follow them, great, that's what I want you to do. Nothing's going to blow up if you follow my Torah and mitzvos.
So the message of lighten up.
Lighten up.
Yeah.
Like I think I was listening, if you don't mind, just going back on what I was myself said last class, but I was thinking about it as we were delving into it. Hashem is very proud of our passion and that we take life seriously. Hashem's very proud of that. Hashem doesn't scream at Yonah like we pointed out. Hashem doesn't tell Yonah, what are you doing? You know, you're doing the wrong thing, you know, etc. We never hear that. Why don't we hear that from Hashem? Yeah, I'm sorry. Please.
I just wanted to mention that I think always when we consider what Hashem's asking people to do when he speaks to them, it's always a test. It's always a test. And Hashem knows exactly whom, what kind of test to give. Moshe did one test, and after Moshe was a resistance so much to go out and talk to Jewish people, Hashem wants to see if he completely now standing for people, if nothing will, you know, sway him from this path of defending people and standing for the people. Because there is a history of Moshe kind of trying to run away, trying not to obey because he's hesitant, but this is the ultimate test because initially Moshe might had an idea to start his own, well, it's from a different midrash. But it's all that Hashem gives the test that's appropriate for this particular person. If Hashem would ask Ezekiel or somebody else, it won't be such an interesting test. It would be different personality.
So in this, I understand that. So what are you saying? So therefore Hashem gave this specific test to Yonah specifically.
I think so.
And do you agree with the precept direction I'm choosing? Do you want to see a different approach? You're saying that is this informing the direction I'm taking,
Hashem,
or are you saying
that Hashem knows Yonah, what Yonah is
capable of, and so
yeah, he's standing for truth, but at the same time he has some kind of weakness. He does not want to confront Hashem at all. Mm-hmm. He doesn't he doesn't feel that he's up to it.
So it passes so.
I mean, it's always some kind of tests targeted for a particular person.
Yes.
And Hashem doesn't do trivial things. If he does give the test, however it's very easy to pass this test, he won't do it.
Right.
Or something that can be accomplished. It's never trivial.
Right, that's what we call it a name. You know, Elohim Nisah et Avraham. He lifted up Avraham to try to get to that, to the level. So where I'm going with the direct, what, I'm sorry, coming back to the point I was trying to make, and that is that Yonah's perception of where Hashem is. Where is Hashem in the room? Right? Is Hashem with me? Or is Hashem looking at me, reviewing what I'm doing? Is Hashem like auditing my activities? You know, and I'm alone. Well, I'm alone here. Really? I'm really alone and Hashem's looking at me. You know,
I think running away kind of supports that approach. You know, I'm alone.
I'm alone.
He doesn't.
He's just judging.
In other words, instead of being with God, he goes away.
So meaning when we ask the question, how could Yonah run away then? So I'm picking up on what you're saying.
Yes.
The answer is Yonah doesn't really feel that he's with Hashem anyways.
Right.
What he's doing is he's running away from Hashem reaching him, but he's not really with Hashem anyways because Hashem is not with him. You know, I want to turn this off for a second. Sorry. There's a simple truth and a simple faith. Number two, not only is there a simple truth and a simple faith, number two, the simple faith is not a harshness. There is scrutiny. And Hashem is looking at us. But it's not that we're alone in that. We really, really are all the time enveloped in the love of Hashem. All the time. It's not at those moments of inspiration. That's just when we arrive at the truth that Hashem is really cradling us. But we're always in Hashem's arms. And we should be close to doing teshuva all the time. And lastly, we have a social responsibility no matter where we are. I think that,
I think this guy, Mr.
Sidorovsky,
put something important. He said Moshe in Parashat Bo, been commanded by Hashem to go to talk to Pharaoh. He don't want to talk. He said, Kvad Lashon Anochi.
Yes.
And Hashem found a solution. I want to talk to you.
Yes.
That means, he has a very similar situation for Yonah. He get a mission to do, and he found an excuse not to do it.
Yes.
But he was able to communicate with Hashem, and Hashem solved his problem.
Yes.
Yonah, on the other hand, was unable to communicate.
Why? Why does Moshe communicate with Hashem about it? And why doesn't Yonah? Why?
I think Moshe have a more compassion for his people. And this gives him the power
to argue.
Give him the shame.
Maybe.
It's about Yaakov. That's what I said before.
Okay, that could be. I want to add something. Maybe Moshe feels Hashem is with me. Hashem's on my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
And Yonah says, "How can I bring this problem to God? He's the one that's presenting me with the challenge." It's like the teacher gives a test. Can you go to the teacher and ask for the answer? The teacher's not going to give you the answer.
He's
certainly
not socially isolated because he goes out and helps the guy who was killed. And, you know, the guy was.
Who's this? Moshe.
Moshe.
Moshe sees himself in the context of others. Moshe sees himself in the context with Hashem.
Yeah.
And with his people.
And with his people.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
From the first to the beginning.
But I'm really...
Well, he started by killing the Egyptian. Because
he cared so much about his people.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't get out the first commandment, don't kill.
Right.
But not the first.
Right.
Number four, I think.
Right.
In order to... Mm-hmm. Take care of his
defend
people.
His people.
Mm-hmm. Now we see that people is important. Jacob, the same story what I tried to say. He was Zionist. He wanted to come back to Israel. Hashem tried to prevent him. This is exactly what happened nowadays sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he fight with it. And eventually he get, he'd been punished, he was not walking straight, but he able to do it and continue. And so sometimes Jewish have to be Israel. Jewish people. Not just Judah, but Israel.
Jewish people have to be what?
Israel. To contend with Hashem.
Because we have the family, the cause. We have the conflict. And you have to love him, but you have to love our people as well, because
we need all of them. We need the love of our God and we need the love of the people.
Because he created us.
Yeah.
We can't separate ourselves to say, I'm the love of Hashem and the rest of the people not like me. We are all Am Echad. Sorry.
Yes, that's right.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So how did God convey that lesson to Yonah about that, that I am a forgiving God and so forth, that I am a
So what we're doing, so let me answer that, preface it with something. What we're doing right now is we're actually, as you could see, we're not actually even studying the text of the book of Yonah. What we're doing right now is we're studying the, and I didn't, you know, I didn't know exactly where this would go, but where we're going now is we're in the, if you will, the theology, the philosophy of the book of Yonah. Okay? Who deals with the philosophy and the theology of the book of Yonah? The story is pshat, is text, is a simple, is the narrative, if you will. But the philosophy behind it is Chazal. So if you want to get into the world of the philosophy and the theology, and where does Hashem answer the philosophical, you know, complexities that Yonah's facing, we need to look in the Medrash. So if you look in the Medrash, because that Chazal, they're in the Medrash, they're living the philosophy and the theology that Yonah is going through. We're unpacking the book right now, and that's where our sages are, in that wisdom. And they explain that when Yonah thought what did Yonah think? Yonah thought, at the end of chapter 1, he's getting thrown overboard, that's it. He's done. He's going to drown, and at least he didn't go to Nineveh. No. All of a sudden, to his shocking surprise, a fish comes and swallows him, and he gets a grand tour. According to the Medrash, this is where the philosophical issues come. The Medrash says, based on the psukim and the song that Yonah sings in the stomach and the belly of the fish, he says that he sees all the depths of the world. Hashem shows him the fuller context. And this is, again, that's why I'm revisiting this, because I think revisiting it is really important and these lessons are important. Hashem did something crazy. Hashem broke barriers. Hashem gave Yonah an out-of-body experience, or whatever you want to call it, whatever the words are, an abnormal experience that's written about in the Navi, supernatural, thank you, supernatural experience that's just wild. I mean, it's a fairy tale. It's wild, but it happened. Because Hashem, it's so important to Hashem to tell Yonah there's a larger context. And that's why this book is so important. That is why this book is so important. We started the series by saying that who wrote this book? Yonah didn't write this book. This book was written by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who live hundreds and hundreds of years after Yonah. Yonah never met the people that wrote the book of Yonah. Why was it written? Because the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah teach us, according to Rashi and the Gemara and Baba Basra, that the lesson is so important, we can't continue through history without this lesson. This is an important lesson. What is the lesson to us, the Jewish people and as individuals? The lesson is, the world is not on our shoulders, there's a larger context, Hashem is with us, and there's a whole context of chesed of the world and how Hashem runs the world and Hashem is compassionate, and the choices that we make are not choices that we make alone. That's why the book is such an important book. It's such an important book because of this important message. How important is that message for the Jewish people through our exile? Really important. Really important. If we make choices as a nation thinking that we are alone, and we just need to report to God who's reviewing our actions, and we don't feel the love of Hashem, our exile and all the difficulties that we've had, all the difficulties we have as individuals, are simply, they're in a context of love. there is scrutiny, but it's in the context of love. We must have that message. How would we be able to endure the suffering and all of the length of the exile without that message? We must have that message, that it's in the context of love. So we need to know the mistake that Yonah made. I'm closing up, Rachel. Okay? Okay.
By the way, Yonah has some excuse for his running away.
Mm-hmm.
Say in chapter 4, right here, that I know that you will forgive the people of Nineveh.
Yeah, interesting pasuk that is bringing up. The very end of the book, Yonah says to God, I'll tell you why I ran away. Ki yadati ki ata el chanun v'rachum erach hapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'ah. Interesting. I know that you're a compassionate God,
so you know,
and you will have mercy. Basically, you'll have mercy on the people, but never. That's true. That's true. But you know,
so
Hashem is compassionate.
Why should I go to this mission if I know that the result? Because it's not me. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting excuse.
Okay. Yeah.
Hashem could forgive Nineveh, but Hashem, you think Hashem won't forgive Israel? It's different, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll forgive the Gentiles.
People,
they'll do tshuva, they'll repent. And also, it's at bay. You know, it's over there. It's out there. Hashem is out there. He's a forgiving person. But there's a difference between, as an example, I arrive late to work. Well, I know my employer's a nice guy. It's okay. But is my employer my best friend, who's my companion and my confidant? No. But I know Hashem, he's over there. He's a very compassionate God. What does it have to do with me? And how do I feel about, that my employer won't walk over to me and put his arm around my shoulder and say, oh, I'm so sorry that things were difficult for you today, Okay, I'm wrapping up. The last enduring understanding for our evening, and that's it for our session this evening, is Hashem's message is accomplished one way or the other. Yonah doesn't want to teach the sailors. The sailors will eventually learn when Yonah is spat out by the fish. And they're going to see that Hashem's message is carried out. And that comes back again. It's all unpacking the whole thing. Hashem's in charge. Hashem has a context. His will be carried out one way or the other. What we need to know there's a simple order, there's simple faith. Simplicity should enter all of our lives. Hashem is loving and caring, even though He scrutinizes our actions. We have a social responsibility. We're always in a context. Always, always, always in a context. Whether we want to shrug the context or we don't. Everything we do has an implication on the context that we're in. And Hashem's desire and will in his world will always be accomplished. So these are some of the themes, messages, really, 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 really important messages. And the most important one, I really think, is how we view Hashem. Do we view Hashem at bay, or that He's right near us, even when we're under scrutiny? Hashem is with us to love us, and those are the messages of Yonah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.